Lesson 3. Holiness is the image of God in man. Lesson objectives. By the end of this lesson, the student should 1. Appreciate God's plan to restore his image in man. 2. Recognize the process through which God restores his image in us. 3. Allow God to work his plan for daily transformation into his image. 4. Memorize 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Moses, a man with a shining face. It was the greatest day in Moses' life, Exodus 33:17-23. He had grown up in Pharaoh's palace. He had met some of the most powerful men in the world, but today Moses would meet one greater than Pharaoh. He would meet Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses had spoken with God at the burning bush. He had watched God destroy Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea. But today, Moses would see God more closely than at the burning bush or at the Red Sea. Today, Moses was in the presence of Jehovah. Moses had only one request: show me your glory. God told Moses that this was impossible. You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. But God gave Moses a special favor. Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Exodus 33:21-23. Moses saw only a small portion of God's glory, but when he returned to the camp, his face was shining. Each time Moses was in God's presence, the skin of Moses' face was shining, and Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. Exodus 34:35. The face of Moses reflected the glory of God. Moses was the man with a shining face. We were created in the image of God. We were created to show God's glory. Although sin damaged God's image in man, God seeks to restore his image in every believer. To be holy is to look like our Heavenly Father. God's purpose is to restore his image in his people. Holiness is the image of God in man. Something to think about. Think of a Christian who models holiness. What characteristics of our Heavenly Father do you see in this person's life? The Pentateuch shows that God is a holy God. Because God is holy, he calls his people to be holy. We were made to look like our Heavenly Father. We were created to be holy. God's goal is to make his children in his own image. To have someone's image means to look like that person. We were created in God's image. This does not mean that God has a face like ours. It means that our souls were made to reflect the nature of God. We were created to be mirrors of God's image. Just as a mirror reflects the face of a person, we were made to reflect God's image. We were made to be pure and holy, just as God is pure and holy. To be holy means to reflect the image of God. God commands his children, be holy. Why? Because God is holy. We are to be like him. Leviticus 11:45, 1 Peter 1:16. We were created to be a holy people. We were created to look like our Heavenly Father. We were created in the image of God. The climax of the creation story is the creation of humankind in the image of God, Genesis 1:27. All that God created was good, but only man was made in the image of God. God made man to be like himself. God crowned him with glory and honor, Psalm 8:5. Man has infinite worth because we were made in God's image. Paul writes that man is the image and glory of God, 1 Corinthians 11:7. We were created to reflect God's glory. The image of God in man was damaged in the fall. Sin corrupted the image of God in man. In Genesis 1, man was made in the image of God. By Genesis 6, all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Genesis 6:12. Man moved so far from God's plan that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis 6:5. The glory man was given at creation was turned to shame. Paul graphically portrays what man lost by turning from God to false gods. Because of the fall, man exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images. As a result, Romans 1:23-28 says God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, gave them up to dishonorable passions, gave them up to a debased mind. All this is the result of the fall. Because of sin, man's glory was changed to shame. The image of God was corrupted. Man no longer looked like his Creator. The image of God is being restored in his people. However, God did not leave man alone. The sacrifices were a means of satisfying the penalty for sin and restoring the relationship between God and man. But God's purpose goes deeper than paying the penalty for our sin. God seeks to make man holy as he is holy. God's purpose is to shape us in his image, Romans 8:29. As his image is restored in us, the shame of sin is erased, and we again show God's glory. This is one of the central themes of the Bible. We were made in the image of God. Genesis 1-2. Through sin, the image of God in man was damaged. Genesis 3. Beginning with the promise of Messiah in Genesis 3, 15 and culminating in heaven, God is restoring his image in man. John promised that if we abide in him, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. 1 John 2:28. As we are transformed into his image, we regain the glory that was lost in the fall. Our shame is erased, and we face his coming with confidence. As we grow in God's image, we are made holy. Just as God is holy, his people are made holy. Israel was called to show the image of God. God called Israel to be a holy people. His purpose was to restore his image in Israel. God chose Israel as his special representative to other nations. He set Israel apart as his chosen people who would show his holy nature to other nations. God called Israel to be a kingdom of priests. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Exodus 19:6. The job of a priest was to represent God to the people. Israel's mission was to represent God to all nations. God called Israel to demonstrate his holy nature to other nations. To accomplish this mission, Israel had to be holy. When Israel was faithful to God, she reflected the holy nature of God. She became a mirror of God's holiness. When Israel turned to idols, she reflected the sinful nature of the idols. She became a mirror of the idols' sinfulness. When Israel failed to look like God, she failed her mission to the world. The church is called to show the image of God. In the New Testament, the church is called to be God's holy people. The church is called to be a priesthood that represents God to the world. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. Just as God chose Israel to show his image to the nations, he chose the church to tell the world how God has called us out of darkness into his great light. God chose the church to represent his nature to those who do not know him. To do this, the church must reflect the image of God. To accomplish her mission, the church must be holy. When the church is faithful to God, she looks like God. She reflects the holy nature of God. When the church turns to the idols of popularity, wealth, and power, she looks like her idols. She reflects the sinful nature of her false gods. When the church fails to look like God, she fails her mission to the world. The image of God is being restored in every believer. We were created to look like our Heavenly Father. We were made in the image of God, but this image was damaged in the fall. God's image is still there, Genesis 9:6, but it is hidden by sin. Imagine that a person digging in China finds a beautiful antique vase. At first, it would not look beautiful. It would be covered with dirt and mud. An onlooker might say, "Throw it away, it is worthless." But an expert knows that under the dirt is a beautiful treasure. The image of God in man was damaged in the fall. God's image was covered by the dirt and mud of sin, but God is restoring his image in us. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, Romans 8:29. Just as Jesus looks like his Father, we are to look like our Father. Holiness is God-likeness. Holiness is the restoration of God's image in man. Michelangelo's Pietà is one of the most famous sculptures in Italy. In 1972, a mentally ill man took a hammer and smashed the sculpture. Artists worked for months to repair the damage. Because this sculpture is so valuable, they worked carefully to restore the original image. Today, you cannot see where the sculpture was damaged. The artists restored the Pietà to its original beauty. In the fall, sin corrupted God's greatest creation. Sin damaged the image of God in man. Because man is valuable to God, he began to restore his image in us. From the fall until now, God has been working through grace to restore mankind to our original beauty. God's goal is to restore in us his beautiful image. Many people have an incomplete understanding of the gospel. Their concept of the gospel is, 1. I was a sinner. 2. God saved me. 3. I can now go to heaven. This is good news, but it is not the entire gospel. The good news of the gospel recognizes God's eternal purpose. 1. I was a sinner. 2. God saved me. 3. God is now restoring his image in me. 4. In heaven I will be like him, because I will see him as he is. 1 John 3:2. God's purpose for his people will be accomplished. Isn't this amazing? God saved you in order to make you like himself. This is the beauty of a holy life. As a holy people, we are being restored into the image of God. God delivered the Israelites from Egypt so that he could live among them in a loving relationship. God did not free Israel to live like the Canaanites. He freed them so that they could be made like himself. In the same way, we are saved to live in intimate relationship with God and to be transformed into his image. God saved us from our sin so that we could be made holy as he is holy. We were made to reflect his glory. Holiness in practice, holiness and personality. Some people believe that a holy person will have a certain type of personality. Think back to your answer to the question at the beginning of this lesson. Think of a Christian who models holiness. What characteristics of our Heavenly Father do you see in this person's life? Did you describe them primarily in terms of personality traits? We often do. However, when we read the New Testament, we see that all types of personalities were represented at Pentecost. All types of people were filled with the Spirit. After Pentecost, the disciples were not suddenly changed into a different type of person. Instead, God worked through their natural personalities to accomplish his purposes in a new way. Thomas did not suddenly become a bright, optimistic person. To his death, Thomas was probably quiet and introspective. Simon Peter did not suddenly become a quiet person sitting unnoticed in the corner. Even after Pentecost, Peter was one who would say confidently, "By no means, Lord," Acts 11:8. God created each of us with a unique personality. Sanctification does not destroy these characteristics. Instead, as we surrender ourselves to God, his image shines through our personality. Is it possible for God's image to shine through our personalities? How will this look in daily life? A competitive, outgoing person who has surrendered fully to God will still have the same personality. A shy person who avoids crowds will continue to be shy. However, in both cases, sanctified people allow God to refine their personalities when they see areas that do not reflect God's image. Let me give an example. Pastor Gideon and Pastor Mark were strong personalities. Both had strong convictions. Both were good talkers who could argue well. Both were in positions of leadership. Because of their strong convictions, both men could sometimes offend others with their words. Near the end of his life, Pastor Gideon said, "I never apologize. It doesn't matter what people think about what I say. It is their fault if they misunderstand me. I know that my heart is right." Although Gideon's heart may have been sincere, people in churches he pastored were often hurt by his words. He had never fully learned to let God's image shine through his personality. Pastor Mark was also a strong leader. However, Pastor Mark learned what it means to reflect the image of God. He learned to say, "I'm sorry, I said that too strongly." He learned to show mercy along with justice. Pastor Mark's members said, "Our pastor treated us like Jesus." Holiness does not change your personality type. Holiness does make you sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit when the Spirit says, "You need to apologize. You were too strong." If you have a personality that avoids the public eye, holiness does not make you into an outgoing person who loves the limelight. However, holiness does make you willing to put aside your hesitation when God says, "I want you to step out and lead in this situation." Everett Cattell gives three examples that illustrate how Satan likes to twist our natural inclinations into something that mars the image of God in our life. Source: Everett L. Cattell, The Spirit of Holiness, Newburgh, Barclay Press, 2015, pages 30 to 35. Example 1. Eating. Hunger is a natural appetite. It is possible to eat to the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10:31. No one should seek for a spiritual experience that destroys hunger. In many people, however, Satan has corrupted this natural appetite into gluttony. Instead of eating to satisfy a natural and normal need, eating becomes a way of pleasing selfish appetites. The solution to gluttony is not to eliminate the joy of eating. The solution is self-control that prevents a natural appetite from being twisted into something dangerous and even sinful. Example 2. Sensitivity. Everett Cattell then gives a more difficult example. Any person with normal emotions has some degree of sensitivity to hurts and suffering. This is normal and is not sinful. However, if we allow this sensitivity to grow into self-pity, it becomes a self-centered attitude that limits our ability to serve God effectively and to reflect His image to others. Again, the solution is not to eliminate all emotional sensitivity and to become calloused towards the words and actions of other people. Instead, we must learn to surrender this sensitivity to God and allow Him to guide and control our response to hurts. Example 3. The tongue. Perhaps this is the most difficult example. All of us must use the tongue. We cannot pray, "God, please eradicate my tongue." However, the tongue must not be allowed to run out of control. Cattell gives the example of a missionary who was often right in his opinions, but who hurt others with his strong words. At a spiritual life convention, he said something that hurt many of the people who attended. That night, God convicted the missionary that his tongue had hurt others. The missionary prayed and then went to the morning meeting. He said to the people at the meeting, "If my problem were liquor, it would be easy. I would throw the liquor away and be done. But my problem is my tongue. I cannot cut it out to the glory of God. But I have committed my tongue unto God, and I am trusting that the Holy Spirit will help me use it to His glory." Rev. Cattell points to two mistakes with problems such as the tongue. One, saying, I am sinful and cannot control my tongue, I must continue to sin with my tongue, because God's grace is not powerful enough to remedy my problem. Two, saying, I have prayed that God will make me holy, so he will control my tongue. I do not need to do anything to discipline myself. I will just trust God. The correct attitude says, I have surrendered my heart and my tongue to God. My heart is pure, but I know I must still discipline my use of my tongue. I must take time to think before I speak. I must take time to pray before I speak. And if I speak too quickly, I must humble myself and repent. A holy person will be quick to go to an offended brother in humble repentance. Matthew 5:23-24. Something to think about. What is a danger area for you? Think of natural appetites that can lead to sinful attitudes or behaviors. Give an example of how this appetite has sometimes caused you trouble. Then give an example of how God has helped you discipline this appetite. How does God shape the personality of a holy person? As we seek to reflect the image of God in our life, God works in many ways to shape us into the person he wants us to be. Like the archaeologist who finds a rare vase in China and carefully polishes it until it shines, God carefully polishes his children until we shine and mirror his image. What are some of the ways God shapes his people into his image? At the beginning of this lesson, we saw how Moses reflected the image of God. Looking at the life of Moses gives us some illustrations of how God shapes us in his image. Early in life, Moses did not always reflect the image of God. His temper caused him to kill a man and threatened to keep him from any usefulness in God's kingdom. Exodus 2:11-15. However, God shaped Moses into a man who was more meek than all people who were on the face of the earth. Numbers 12:3. Moses was quick to become discouraged. Exodus 5:22-23. But God shaped him into a man who was faithful to lead his people through 40 years in the desert. How did God transform the character of Moses? 1. God uses his word to shape his children in his image. One of the most effective tools God uses is his word. As we store up God's word in our heart, he uses it to guide us. Psalm 119:9-11. As Moses received God's law directly from the hand of God, it shaped his understanding and his character. Holy people are people of the Word. They know that in God's Word they will see the nature of God. They know that in God's Word they will learn how their character should reflect God's character. Every great Christian in history was a student of the Word. 2. God uses difficult circumstances to shape his children in his image. Because of his murder of the Egyptian, Moses spent 40 years in the desert. Many times he must have thought, I have wasted my opportunity. I can never do more than care for sheep. But God used those 40 years to shape Moses into a leader. One of the most encouraging verses from the life of Peter is when Jesus predicted his failure at the trial. Jesus warned Peter, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. He encouraged Peter, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And then he promised that out of Peter's temporary failure, God would bring good. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Luke 22:31-32. God used even the devastating circumstance of Peter's failure to make Peter more effective. Holy people trust God's providence in difficult circumstances. They believe Romans 8:28 because they are seeking to live out Romans 8:29. Paul writes, And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Then he tells us the purpose that God is bringing in the life of his child. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Not everything that happens to a holy person is good. but all that happens works together to accomplish God's good purpose, shaping us in the image of His Son. 3. God uses people to shape His children in His image. This may be the hardest of the three. God uses people, often difficult people, to shape us in His image. When Moses was about to tire out through the heavy responsibilities of leadership, God used his father-in-law Jethro, who was not even an Israelite, to give Moses advice that made him more effective, Exodus 18, 1-27. We can look again at Simon Peter. Through his interaction with John and later through confrontations with Paul, Peter was shaped more and more into the image of God. Paul opposed him to his face when Peter failed to live up to the lessons the Spirit had taught him about eating with Gentiles, Galatians 2:11. As the senior apostle, this must have been embarrassing to Peter. He had been following Christ while Paul was still murdering Christians, but Peter allowed God to work through Paul to bring him closer to what God wanted Peter to be. Holy people allow God to work through other people to shape their character into His image. Proverbs says, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." Proverbs 27:17. The sharp edge of an axe is honed by rubbing the axe against steel. In the same way, as people interact with each other, their skills are sharpened. The life of holiness is more than a one-time moment of crisis. It is a daily transformation into the image of God. As we submit to God's work in our lives, He shapes us progressively into His image. This is the practical life of holiness. He found the secret. Frank Crossley. A holy heart is not reserved for pastors or missionaries. God wants to change every Christian into His image. Frank Crossley showed the image of God in ordinary life. Frank Crossley was not a preacher. He was the owner of Crossley Engines. He did not live in a cave hidden from temptation. He lived in Manchester, a large industrial city. Frank Crossley was a wealthy businessman in 19th century England. Soon after his conversion, Crossley heard a young girl from the Salvation Army testify about the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Crossley said to his wife, "I want to know God like that girl knows God." He returned the next night and began seeking a pure heart. After God purified his heart through faith, Crossley wanted to do more than make money. He decided to become a preacher. He contacted General William Booth of the Salvation Army, but Booth wisely advised Mr. Crossley to continue his work as a businessman. General Booth believed that Frank Crossley would be more effective serving God through his business. Mr. Crossley asked, "How can I show God's image in my daily life? How would Jesus treat my employees?" He moved his factory to the poorest section of the city to help the needy. He treated his workers like Christian brothers. Frank Crossley demonstrated a holy heart through a Christ-like attitude. Day after day, Mr. Crossley reflected the image of God in his treatment of other people. A rival businessman once met with Mr. Crossley about a difficult contract. He later said, "Mr. Crossley treated me just as Jesus Christ would have done." This business colleague saw the image of God in Frank Crossley. For Frank Crossley, the most important question was not, "How can I make more money?" The most important question was, "Do I look like my Heavenly Father?" Because of this, Mr. Crossley showed the image of God to those around him. This is holiness. "Oh, for a heart to praise my God," Charles Wesley. "Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that always feels thy blood. So freely shed for me, a heart resigned, submissive, meek. My great Redeemer's throne, where only Christ is heard to speak, where Jesus reigns alone. A humble, lowly, contrite heart, believing, true and clean, which neither life nor death can part. From Christ who dwells within, a heart in every thought renewed, and full of love divine, perfect and right and pure and good. A copy, Lord, of thine. Lesson 3 in review. 1. To be holy means to reflect the image of God. 2. The image of God in mankind was damaged by the fall. 3. One of the central themes of the Bible is the restoration of God's image in man. 4. God's eternal purpose is to restore us to His image. 5. When Israel was faithful to God, she showed His image to the nations. 6. When the church is faithful to God, we show His image to the world around us. 7. The image of God in us has been damaged by sin. However, God works in the life of every believer to make us more and more like Himself. 8. The good news of the gospel is, I was a sinner. God saved me. God is restoring His image in me. In heaven, I will be like Him because I will see Him as He is. 9. God is working to shape His children into His image. Regardless of our personality, He wants to show Himself through us. God uses His word, the circumstances of life, and other people to shape us in His image.